Chris and Thomas are a singing and songwriting duo currently from Los Angeles, although their journey took them from Memphis and Munich, respectively, through Liverpool to L.A. In Liverpool, it was food that brought them together. They outfitted a van and made a TV show, traveling and cooking throughout the U.K. In L.A., they concentrated on their music together, and they have taken off. The Cafe's Michaela Majune began our interview by asking them about the origin of the title track of their album together called Land of Sea.
Joshua Tree is really where Land of Sea, the name, comes from, because when we were there, it really looks like it's underwater, the whole place. It's like, you know, these gigantic stone, you know,
formations.
Say boulders.
It's a German coming through there. Just all kinds of crazy rock formations and just drop-offs and things like that. You can just imagine like sharks swimming through there at one point. And apparently, I guess, it, you know, a lot of our deserts, I think that was an underwater place at one point.
I think more of dolphins when I'm there.
And you have photos on the cover.
We do,
from there, it looks like.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Well, let's hear the song.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's Land of Sea, the opening song, the title track of the new CD from Chris and Thomas. And it's really interesting. There's a very bright sound to the mandolin that's kind of in counterpoint to a deeper melancholy or darkness in that song. Am I right?
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Intentional?
No. You know, the funny thing is we started... when we first moved to LA, then I guess I moved there first, and Chris moved a little later, and we would play songs that we had written
independently in
the past, and then we said, you know what, let's just not do that, let's just start fresh, and then I remember I got a mandolin and we just got together and would start singing together as well, and somehow it organically. We just found our own little sound, and the songs, yeah, they just kind of started coming out. I guess the first song we wrote was about a bear that was drinking gin or something.
He stole somebody's gin. We weren't really comfortable with exploring our feelings at that point, you see.
I'm glad you've moved on from it.
But I remember that we had a friend that came by, one of Tommy's old friends, this girl Kristen came by, and we said, hey, you know, maybe come by and swing by and see what you think of what we're doing. And she came by and said, musically, it sounds so great, but you guys got to come up with something that's got some heart to it. We're like, all right, we got to drop our fear here. And we got into it, and the first place that was easy to start from was the place we loved the most, which was that desert place. So we talked about that and our times going there and that shared experience. Mm-hmm. And then once that border was broken, we started breaking all kinds of borders. And yeah, so that's the writing process. And the great part of two instruments is that it's just us. It's compact. You can take it wherever you want to go. It's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris and Thomas are our guests today on the World Cafe. Their debut is called Land of Sea. And you were talking about how you got deeper with the meaning and the heart in the songs. And then lo and behold, you won an award for songwriting for one of these songs. Talk about that a little bit. Was that a surprise? Or?
Yeah, it was a total surprise. We got a phone call sometime ago. And they said we were nominated for the Independent Music Awards. And then we got another phone call. I mean, that already alone was great. We felt like, wow, that's cool. We got nominated.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that feeling.
And then 2 weeks later or something, we got another call and they said, oh, you actually won the award. And we're like, wow, that's really neat.
Yeah.
And it helps to get the appreciation for sure. It definitely fuels. I mean, you do it in the first place, you do it for yourself. But then it's so nice to get the feedback from people that just like what you do. And
the feedback in this case from other songwriters, no? I mean, isn't that?
That's a big deal, yeah. Right, yeah. It was Nora Jones. What was it? Phil Wyman.
Melissa Etheridge, I guess, and Bill Wyman and George Clinton.
All right, that's right. That's quite an eclectic mix, isn't it?
It is. I want to see that show. Well, congratulations, and well deserved. It's a great song. Well, let's hear the song.
Okay.
Take These Thoughts, Chris and Thomas on the World Cafe.
Thank you. seen and the things I want, and I long to be, and I crave much more than I ever need, and I take it all just the way I please. Take these thoughts and put them in your basement. Take these thoughts and send them down the track.
That was Take These Thoughts, the award-winning song from Chris and Thomas. It's on their brand new CD, their debut, called Land of Sea. You're going to laugh at me, but I was thinking that that song would be a great kind of meditator's anthem. It reminds me of meditation, you know, like taking the thoughts away, not getting caught up in them, but sending them down the track is exactly what you do when you meditate. And also the basement, that image of the basement reminds me of the unconscious.
That's it.
So
it's funny because a friend of ours who's very much a Jungian, came to one of our shows. He says, don't tell people to put it down in the basement, that they're going to repress their negative thoughts and it's going to come out in some other form. And
kind of a literal interpretation, but that's right. In meditation, you don't put it in the basement, you let go of it.
That's right.
You
but I thought that was very funny because, when those lines came out, I think we were both just kind of feeling it. And we just said it was kind of like purging ourselves, really, you know, it was like letting it go and just... And it is. Every time you sing those lines, it kind of is like letting go of it and not being attached to it and just kind of, okay, you know? So absolutely, it is sort of a meditation. It's a mantra, so to speak.
Krishna, you're from Memphis.
I am.
And Thomas, you grew up where in Germany?
In Munich.
In Munich. And so how did each of you get to Liverpool?
Well, Chris got there first. Maybe you want to
tell
that story.
I was traveling around Europe for a really long time, for about 2 years, and just backpacking around and doing different things, and my parents weren't too happy about that, and then my mother kept saying, you should really go to school, and I was like, and then eventually she called me and she said, you know what? Paul McCartney and the Queen are going to open up a school in Liverpool. My mother's from Liverpool. And so she said, you'll have family there, but you'll still be traveling, kind of. And I thought, that sounds all right. I'll check it out. And I wanted to go to school, and I hadn't really studied music. And it was for people who just kind of had felt their way through music all their lives. And that's what I had always done. And I thought, this is my chance to learn properly what to do, you know, and to find other people who are kind of like me. And my travels were just starting to end up, and I was in Greece, and I was traveling different islands of Greece, and I kept running into this same couple over and over again. And finally, on the island of Delos, which they only allow 13 people to go to every day, you have to get up at 5:30 in the morning for that boat. They're on this boat, and there was like three other people. And finally, we're like, all right, what's going on here? And it was one of Thomas's best friends, Mike, Prommer, who is now our record label, the guy who runs our record label. And God. He said, do you mind if I tell my friend Thomas about what you're going to do when you get done with your travels? And I said, no, that'd be great. Tell him. And 2 days I'm back in Memphis at my parents' house, and I get a call from Tommy, and he says, hey, I'm Mike's friend. And, you know, and he plays me music over the phone. I'm playing him music over the phone, and we're having a great time. And then he came to Liverpool on my induction day and snuck in with me and got in, and we kind of never turned back from there, really.
That's a crazy story. I mean, that makes you believe in fate. That's almost. Right.
That is wild. At this point, we have to, yeah.
So did you finish a course of study at the school, or you just hooked up musically and off you went?
We both finished our courses in composition, but we did a collaboration together with another friend of ours called Julian Gillespie, who was a fine artist, and we did a cooking show together, a traveling cooking show in a van. But we still kept studying as well. So we did that for a while. It was
like a performance art thing, or it was a restaurant, or
it was both.
It was both.
What prompted you to do that?
Well, Julie and I were driving around in a van in Belgium and Holland. We were delivering some paintings there, and there was a little cooking space in the front of the van. And so we just started cooking these four-course meals in this ridiculously tiny front space. And then, you know, one night in the midst of cooking and eating and drinking, we decided that the inevitable thing is a cooking show with the van. And then we went back to Liverpool, and then Chris came also on board, and then the three of us transformed the van into a high-class eatery.
Let's hear another song. Okay. What are you going to play for us next?
We're going to play a song called Show Me the Way. And it's got Thomas on the dobro.
And Chris on the Gibson steel string.
You ready?
Please show me the way. and see, for wonders in the darkness and angels over me.
Chris and Thomas today on the World Cafe, and that song is called Show Me the Way. We've talked a lot about your collaboration. How do you think your two cultures that you grew up in have meshed in this collaboration?
You know, it's kind of a collision of me wanting Europe and Thomas wanting America. First time I met him was at my aunt's house in Liverpool. And I remember he came in, and I was all about, like, European composers. And I wanted to do that thing and minimalism and experimental music but I had my acoustic guitar and I loved to sing with it and play with it, but I wasn't really studied up on my own heritage. It was in my blood, but it wasn't in my head, and it wasn't in my fingers yet. And then Tommy came over and he started saying, "Hey, let's play a song together." And he had this real easy going, "Let's rock it" kind of thing going. And at my aunt's house, and I was like, "Oh, well, I need to know what we're going to play first." So it kind of freed me going back to something that was my background, but it was always in the back of my mind and never in the, and it was in the core of my heart, but I hadn't discovered it yet. So he kind of brought it out of me. We just really kind of brought the best out of each other's background somehow.
And then you found someone who really could honor that, and your producer of the album. Talk a little bit about the production, because it sounds like you did the album in a really cool place in Los Angeles.
Yeah, this guy Mark Howard had heard our record and our EP, the one that we made at our house with just a couple of mics, and he had worked with Daniel Lanois for many years, and so he had worked on really great records that we love, like a bunch of Bob Dylan records, Tom Waits and U2 and a bunch of other bigger names. So we were thrilled that he was interested to work with us. And he has a very unique way of doing it. Normally he just rents a location that he scouts out, and like an old house or, I don't know, a castle, I don't know, you name it. In our case, it was an old soundstage. And it was this huge, you know, building that it was like a three-story tall, padded with cotton walls. So it was a bit like an insane asylum there. And he just put Persian rugs in there and Victorian lamps made it very cozy in a sense. So it was like a really cool vibe. And then he put all these microphones in front of us. One of them was an RCA that was from the 40s.
We can tell him who used that one.
And then there's another one. That was like a German Neumann from the 30s. I guess. Do you want to say something about
it? It was just very funny because I got to use the RCA that was the kind that Frank Sinatra used to use. And then Tommy got the one, unfortunately, it's just terrible. It was funny at the time, but he's German. And it was the one that Hitler used to use during the rallies. And so we were like, "Oh man, are you sure you want to use that one?" He was like, "Does it sound good?" He said, "Yeah, it sounds really good. Okay, we'll use it."
Yeah, it wasn't the exact one.
No. That would have been a different issue. Different issue altogether.
I would have not sang through that.
Okay. No, yes. Don't mention the wall.
Well, the result is a beautiful album, and today we're hearing some more stripped-down versions of these songs, including the song Broken Chair, which is the second song on the album.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to say about that before we hear it?
That song is about our friendship. Broken Chair, the name is because we each smashed a chair at the old place we used to. We used to actually live together, believe it or not. We didn't share a bed, but oh God, cut this out. but we used to live together and
shared a house,
and it was a pretty big house, so we had enough space to get away from one another. But there was one time we were like working on something, and I think his girlfriend at the time called. Anyway, so I get into the nitty gritty of it, but two chairs were smashed, and that's why the song is called "Broken Chair." Not on each other, by the way, just on the floor. So
yes, they were very old, breaking chairs anyway, yeah. And it was time to let them go.
We're pretty peaceful people.
As a matter of fact, the line in the song goes, "Maybe it's time to let it go." But
another meditation line.
That's right. Yeah. No, but that is a place we go to. That meditative place was on this particular album was definitely. It was a cathartic record, to be honest. It was, your 20s are kind of a funny time, and it's good to be in our 30s now. I don't know if that's okay that we talk about our age, but, you learn a lot, and we learned a lot during those days of making that record, and we're going to keep learning. But but that song is definitely, it typifies that point of our friendship, which, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're still doing it, so you got beyond that point.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. We've been through
tons, man.
Well, let's hear the song.
Okay.
Broken Chair.
You breathe, you learn, you lose. You take, you break, you choose. And as you laugh and cry, you do your best and try. comes along. Some friends, they come and stay. Some leave and go their way.
Chris and Thomas, live on the World Cafe. That is Broken Chair from their album Land of Sea. And our thanks to Chris and Thomas and to Michaela Majune for that session. Coming up, a seasonal tune of sorts from Counting Crows when we get back here to the World Cafe.